What's up, everybody? It's Austin and Miranda. We are back with new episodes of The Sound Table. If you didn't know, we launched a podcast like a year and a half ago, and we had a lot going and then kind of had to take a brief hiatus. But now we're back. We're back with new episodes. We're going to be releasing every other week,
right?
Yes. If you're watching YouTube, you can see that now we're going to have a video version of the podcast. So podcasts are going to release on Monday for audio only. So on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. And then every Wednesday that we do a podcast, the video will come out on YouTube. And then you might see some clips floating around on like Instagram and TikTok. But other than that, we are back. We're excited to be back. How are you doing? You excited to be back?
I'm excited. I'm a little nervous. This is my first time on camera. So please be nice to me. And if I look awkward on camera, it's because I've never been on it before. So I'm usually behind the scenes. So please,
if you're mean to her, I'll beat your ass. For real. That's my wife. Other than that, what do we want to start with? Do you have some topics you want to talk about?
So I thought we could do, because we have a couple ideas, but I don't know if they're like full-fledged podcast ideas. So I thought we'd do like an episode about our hot takes, maybe unpopular opinions regarding, I mean, anything, like the music industry as a whole, I guess we could say. But I thought I'd start us out. Our first subject could be about our hot takes that we have on studio internships, which I know is a touchy one for a lot of people.
We're about to get canceled by big studios.
I know. They're going to be probably
I think it's fine.
About it.
Okay. And then after
it's nothing serious. Anything we say in this, obviously it's our opinion, but it's like we're never trying to be offensive or rude or hurt anybody's feelings. Obviously. So just to clarify.
So we're going to talk about other hot takes too,
yeah.
I presume.
Yeah.
But we're going to start with studio
internships.
But we
have to keep you guys going. We can't tell them everything, give them everything at one
100%.
Time.
All right. Well, what is your vibes on studio internships? As somebody who's not in the music industry, but somebody who did go to college and get a degree that a lot of people go and intern at.
Yeah.
How do you feel about them?
Okay, well, I just want to say that this goes across my feelings for internships of all kinds. It's not just studios. I think they're shit. I think making people work and not paying them is fucked up.
So unpaid internships is what you're...
Yes. Oh, okay. Obviously, unpaid internships when we say studio internships. I think studio internships where they're paying you and you get to like have this experience that you wouldn't normally have. And like, sure, maybe you're like putting up cables and like setting up rooms for people, so it's not exciting or like creative, but you still get to learn a lot from that process and you're getting paid.
Yeah, even if it's a little bit.
Yeah, I think that is great. I think when they're like, yeah, you need to be putting in 40 hours a week and yeah, no, we're not paying you.
Like you're like, lucky to be in these rooms.
Yeah, like that's, you're just taking advantage of people who want to make it in this industry, in any industry, but specifically we're talking about the music industry. And you're getting free labor. I think it's fucked up.
I 100% agree. I feel like it's like big studios that kind of have the privilege of like being able to say that you've worked out of there.
Right.
Get away with it a lot. But like my mindset is like, if somebody's doing work, then I think that they should be paid. So like, here's where I stand as somebody who has worked in studios and then also like runs a studio where people have asked me to be my intern.
Right.
People have been like, can I intern with you? Number one, I'm in a home studio. I don't need an intern.
Yeah.
Number two, like I feel very uncomfortable anybody doing any work for me and not getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I were to ever have interns, it would be more so like their position is going to be intern, and that's kind of an overarching, like I might ask you to clean the studio or wrap cables or set up a session for me or run and grab a client, you know, coffee or whatever. But I'm going to be paying them hourly, right? And mm-hmm. then on top of that, I think in my perfect world, what an internship would be have your set hours that you need to do your job to help out the studio, and within that make your, you know, $15 an hour or whatever. Even if it's only that.
I'm not saying you got to pay them like $30 an hour,
sure,
or anything crazy, but like a little bit. And I also don't think internships should be full time, because
I don't either.
They're not paying you most of the time, like, because I understand a lot of people can't afford to pay people, you know, a full time 40 hours a work week,
sure,
$20 an hour. Like, I understand, like, that's expensive. But I think you can pay interns part time to come in and work for you. Like, they could work 20 hours a week, maybe. So then they at least have time to have another job if they want to have another job, other, you know, work at other studios, whatever the heck they want
to do. Or, like, even volunteer at that studio, but, like, off the clock of their internship, right? Like, I think that if people are interns, I think that they should have the ability for them saying like, oh, you know, like I did my hours this week. Like, I know you have a session with XYZ. Would you mind if I came sat in and shadowed? Like,
yeah.
I don't think that they should be paid if they're just going to sit there and shadow, because that is their payment. Like, they get to get in these big sessions and see what's going on.
I don't think that's what internships
A lot of people will market them that, though. Is they're like, come intern at our studio and you'll get to see sessions. But during the session, they're running and grabbing coffee or setting up mics.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Then that doesn't really count.
Yeah. And so, like, I think that if they're working, they should be paid. And if they're not working, then they should have the access to network with the engineers at that studio and like have mentors at that studio and like build their way up. I also see a lot of people do internships where like not even just studios, but like even the job is not that clear on what the progression of like
that's what I was just
a job
say.
Would be. Is like, are you gonna, how long do you need to intern for, and then what's the next level? Like, then do you go to runner, then do you go to like studio assistant, then do you go to assistant to an engineer, then do you go to a low level engineer, then do you go to a head engineer, then do you, like, what are the steps and how long is that realistically going to take, right? Like, if you are working for $15 an hour or $12 an hour or whatever, how long do you have to do that until you get on their salary, you start getting benefits, you start being able to actually run sessions, you start having real responsibilities at that studio that not everybody could do,
right?
Because if a studio or a job is not able to lay that out, they don't have an actual internship program. They just want free or cheap labor.
Yeah. I also wonder, at any of these studios, when you have an internship where you're not getting paid, I wonder if you get any benefits. Like, maybe instead of paying the however much it is an hour to rent out the studio, maybe there's like one day a week that you're allowed to, or one day a month or whatever, you're allowed to rent it out for free. Like, that's kind of cool if they do that, but I mean,
I think my thing is like, there just needs to be compensation. That doesn't have to be monetary. Like you said, it could be access to the studio.
Yeah.
It could be access to like a mentor at that studio. Like, if I got a call,
I feel like that's a mentorship though, which is different.
Yeah, but a lot of that comes from internships. Like, I know a lot of people who are assistants to the biggest mixing engineers in the world, and they got that through like being an intern and then them kind of taking them on as
well,
a mentor.
Well, then that's the progression, I guess, then, that you're asking.
But I think it was also kind of a clear path. And like,
yeah,
I think that a lot of people go into internships and they're marketed to for internships as like a come do this and then you will work in this studio one day. You will be a head engineer. You will have your name on our website. And for like 80% of internships, I don't think that ever actually happens. I think people get burnt out. I think they get slighted. Mm-hmm. I think they get taken advantage of. And this is not just studios. Like, if you run a big studio and you're on the unpaid internship and you have a side that we don't know, I would love to hear what your argument is for having people work for you and not paying them.
Yeah.
Because as somebody who has worked my entire teenage and adult life and never had the privilege to just like fuck around for 30 hours a week and not get paid for it, I don't understand how people do it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Even when I was in college, I remember people saying like after they graduated, oh, I'm going to take this internship, or they were working an internship part time in college. And I'm like, they're like, oh, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I can't afford to not get paid.
Fuck
like
no.
I have bills. Like, I will get evicted from my apartment if I take an internship and I have no way to pay my bills. So it's like, not taking an internship for a lot of people is a privilege, and
100%.
It's not possible for a lot of people to do.
Absolutely.
And I think it's great if people are able to do that, and it's something that you want to do. I just feel like, I wonder how many...
I don't think that should be marketed as like the only way to get into a big studio.
Right, and like, how necessary is it to where you literally don't pay them at all? Like, you really don't have the budget as a big studio, like you really don't have the budget at all to pay
somebody. $700 an hour for your room. Like,
yeah,
what are you talking
like
about?
I don't know. Like, that seems, the math ain't mathing for me.
Yeah, I don't know. And like, maybe a lot of them are paid, and I'm just not realizing that.
Hopefully,
I see a lot of people though that are like, oh yeah, dude, like I do my internship during the day, and then at night I record people freelance for my own money. And in my mind, I'm like, if I'm in an internship, I should be wanting to dedicate 100% of myself to that studio. Where like, I don't know if I'd want to be taking a lot of work outside of that, because if you're going to take work outside of that, why the fuck are you doing an internship? Just go do a freelance. You can make...
Well, maybe they don't get that much work.
Yeah, maybe. But I feel like for the time that you would dedicate to an internship at a big studio and the amount of time that it takes you to be an engineer making six figures there, you could probably do it as a freelancer faster.
Yeah. I think some people, though, it's just like their style.
Yeah. That's
how
true.
Their personality. Like, some people don't want to, they can't work for themselves, or they don't know how.
Don't want to be a business owner.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of pressure working for yourself and all that. And like,
that's
also
true,
the access to equipment that you have when you work at a studio, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people who don't have like tens of thousands of dollars to spend on their own studio, if they can go to this multi-million dollar studio and work there, that's probably more ideal for them. Or maybe they're not interested in finding clients or having to be the one to communicate them. Maybe they just want to work in a studio,
yeah,
but not have to be on the business side of it. Because I think a lot of people are really creative, but they're not always business oriented,
yeah,
which is totally fine and very normal and understandable. But I think that might be a big benefit for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I see less and less of the pattern of studios using the blanket term internship to have people do meaningless menial labor that fucking literally
they're
getting
their coffee and getting their lunch.
Brother, just hire studio assistant for $20 an hour and they're fine. They'll do it.
Like, you're literally just having your own personal Uber Eats
right. Right. Like, I don't know.
Somebody.
To me, it's a big red flag. I will say I love studios that take on interns in the sense of they'll pay them, but they'll also really mentor them. If you're going to do a mentorship,
yeah,
fine.
That's
I understand that. Like, even at this point where I make really good money, not insane money, but it would be a massive sacrifice for me to take time away from my own productions and make pop music. But if I had a huge producer that I've looked up to and they were like, hey, if you want to come over 2 days a week, I'll show you everything I do in sessions. I'll let you meet with artists. Sure, I might sacrifice that.
Right.
But I'm in a privileged position where I kind of make some passive
income.
That's
what I'm saying.
Could I do that if I was working 50 hours a week? Or could I do that if I didn't have full faith that that person is going to actually get me to the point where they will make connections for me. They will have me in sessions that I get credits on. Because those fucking interns are not getting credits on those sessions that they're sitting there wrapping cables for.
Right. Of course. When, no offense, but why should they? If that's all they're doing. But they are spending their time on that.
I just feel like it's like with any job listing. Just have the pay upfront, super transparent. Have the responsibility super upfront, transparent. Have the benefits upfront. And if both people agree to that, then I can't get mad at somebody. I can't get mad at people for asking for free labor if somebody's going to do fucking free labor. But I will say making that the only way that you can get into their studio, I think, is really predatory.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I think the music industry and particularly is very hard to get into.
Yeah.
And
that's
so, and I think they,
for.
Yeah. And I think people take advantage of that when a lot of studios or certain producers take advantage of that because they know that they can.
Yeah.
So
I'm not automatically calling anybody who's running internships shitty.
No.
I just think if you're not paying people, that's a little shady.
Yeah. I'm just more of curious of the reasoning why you're not wanting to pay people. Because,
and again, if you're swapping knowledge for.
Yeah. That's different.
Whatever. If somebody's hey, I'll come clean all your keyboards and wrap all your cables and, do all your cable management, and then I'm going to give them a one-on-one 8-hour session. Sure.
But that
would cost thousands of dollars.
Right. That's different. But
but there needs to be a trade. I see so many people intern at these studios and I'm have you talked to, so-and-so who's a producer or an engineer out of there? And they're never even gotten to meet them face to face. And I'm why the fuck are you working there?
Right. If they're just an assistant.
Yeah.
But
they're not even allowed to talk to these people. They're don't make yourself even known.
Yeah.
Weird to me.
Yeah, it is
waste of time to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd be interested to hear if any of you guys have ever had an internship at a studio that you were not getting paid for.
And then was it worth it?
Yeah. And if you enjoyed it, if you hated it, what your opinion is on that. I'm curious to hear other people's opinions, because me and Austin obviously have the same opinion, but we are also two very hot-headed, opinionated people. So
seriously.
That's why we're doing a hot take segment, because they are hot takes.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I do wonder about, and I guess this is kind of a segue into my next hot take, but I do wonder how much internships, because I know a lot of internships start as the menial cleaning labor and shit like that, just stuff that nobody wants to do. And a lot of people will move up to be engineers, where they'll vocal comp or edit things or go through and remove sounds. And a lot of that is being controlled by AI now.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what the stepping stones are going to look like as some of the more kind of monotonous audio tasks end up being AI. Right now, I kind of want to talk about AI because I have a love-hate relationship with it, and I think that there are different forms of AI. So I look at something like Vocaline from Synchro Arts, and technically that's AI, right? It's using algorithms to line my lead vocal up with all of my dubs and my harmonies. And to me, that saved me a shit ton of time. I understand that that's probably taking away work from a vocal engineer that I could hire. So
I'll even think that. Yeah, but you would never do that personally.
What do you mean?
Like, you don't hire vocal engineers to cut out shit for you.
No, I would always just do it myself. So using something like an AI tool like helps me. But I think that there are levels to that where like I'm seeing people use like AI to basically like create songs for them and write lyrics for them. Yeah. And to me, I guess my hot take is like I'm in full support of AI if that can free you up from tasks that limit your creativity and it can help expand your creativity. Where like if I just type into ChatGPT, like, make me a song that sounds like The Weeknd.
Yeah, but they're shit. Have you seen those? They're terrible. Yeah, they're awful. They're really terrible. But also, I think you're saying, like, it's okay to use it as a tool for yourself, but sure. Using it to replace someone's creative job is where it's a problem.
Right. That and, like, I think that there is a problem with AI where it does steal intellectual property. Where definitely. It'll, like, mismatch a bunch of shit together.
Yeah.
And I see the argument. A lot of people are like, well, what difference is it that if you ask it to make you a Weeknd song, it took inspiration from all of those, where if you were to hire a producer and tell them that, they're going to take inspiration from it too. And I was like, yeah, but like, I'm not going to actually use the fucking stems from a Weeknd song like AI does sometimes.
Right. Like, or like literally take their lyrics directly.
Yeah. Like
Dev Lemons just did that video where she made a song like Lana Del Rey without hearing it. And she had like wrote her lyrics, but then she like went to ChatGPT or like one of those AIs and was like, make me a Lana Del Rey song.
Like
and
Summertime Sadness was the second lyric.
That was like the second or first lyric literally was Summertime Sadness. And she's like, I can't use that. That's actually a Lana Del Rey song and already a lyric.
I think that's where the issue with AI lies to me is like when it starts to infringe on people's like copyright and stuff. Because like as a producer, to be honest, if I accidentally rip off an artist, I get sued. Like that artist is well within their right to come to me and be like, I did not give you permission to use that. And I can be like, I didn't know that that was there. Or I can say, I'm sorry, I can credit you. We can take it down. We can compensate you or whatever. How the fuck am I supposed to do that with ChatGPT? Or
you would still be the one getting sued, I think.
It's just weird. No, like
I'm saying if you use ChatGPT if to I make use a it, song. But
like, no, like if I got ripped off from ChatGPT, I'd I don't know. It's just weird.
You'd have to just be suing the person that put it up because like, in my opinion, you shouldn't be using that to write songs and produce songs because that's pointless. Like the point of music is to be creative and expressive and then using
like art is art.
Right. And then like using I think it's funny to use it to be like how Dev Lemons is using it. Like I think that's really funny the way she's typing it in and then just like seeing how ridiculous these lyrics are. And like in her videos are just supposed to be funny and entertaining and she's not even using the AI lyrics. She was just like looking it up that one time. But I don't think using it as like an actual creative medium is icky. Well, but I think, I don't know if that's a hot take. I think a lot of people would agree with that, especially in the music industry. Like a lot of artists have big problems with AI because they're scared of AI and what it can do of replacing, which obviously we're seeing now. Most people's jobs are not going to be replaced by AI, but
eventually, who
knows? I was going to say AI just gets better with time and that's what's scary. So it, like right now we're all like laughing like, oh, look at they put 10 fingers on that person, one hand in that painting. Like that's funny. But like the more it learns that that's not what people want and that's not okay, it's just going to get better.
Yeah.
And that's like, what's kind of scary and nerve wracking.
It is cool. Like we did a video a couple months ago where like I made a song in the style of Tate McRae and I was like, let's see if it really sells it. If I send my vocals through like a trained AI algorithm to sound like Tate McRae. And like that was just for entertainment. I made a clear disclaimer of like Tate McRae had no affiliation with this. I used an AI site where I got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if her or her camp or anybody has a problem with it, I'll take it down. That's fine. I totally understand. But like this is just for instructional purposes. Like it's just for education and entertainment. And so like I think that's different. But I see people all the time that like try to finesse like they had a feature from an artist that was like an AI feature.
Ew.
Or they'll like run their vocals so through it to like have like background vocals. So it's like, is that fucking Travis Scott doing ad libs in their song?
Yeah, that's
and it's
weird.
Like, no, it's a fucking AI robot. But
those are the same
that's
people.
That's immoral
though.
To me. Like that artist did not sign off on that to be released.
Yeah. But that reminds me of the same, like, remember when your song was on that YouTube channel and it was like Post Malone in the Weeknd's song? And then it said like it was just like it was a song. Like it said Post Malone and the Weeknd, and it was like
Love is a Remedy or something.
Yeah, like that was like it was like a music video for that song.
It was just my song.
And then it was literally just Austin's song playing over whatever shitty graphic they had in
the
background.
They just gave it a fake name.
Yeah.
And said that it was from artists.
But they did credit you in the description, which is interesting.
No, they didn't. Content ID did.
Yeah, you're
right.
They got
content ID'd, and then I made like a few $1,000s off of it because it ended up getting like 8 million hits.
Yeah, so like that's
so like
sick.
Thank them. But like they weren't going to credit me if I didn't pay that extra $15 on TuneCore.
Right.
I wouldn't have gotten that. Somebody would have just made, they would have made $4,000 off of
and
my song.
And imagine if you're like a smaller artist and you're, because like a lot of the comments were saying it was his song, but like imagine if you're a really small artist and no one knows who you are. Like,
I was talking to Dean from Always Never. He was like, we have one every single week of somebody being like, The Weeknd's new song.
Ugh, it's so annoying. And then,
with that said, if you're an artist, pay the extra for content ID.
There you go. But I can't imagine being like bigger artists, how many of those videos there are now with AI of people writing these like
unreleased Olivia Rodrigo songs.
Yeah. And then they like put them on. You know how many times that people do that with like Taylor Swift with these re-releases that she's doing? And people are like, oh, it's this song from 1989. It's like people do it all the time.
I just heard of Harry Styles in like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And then it gets you excited about, oh my God, this is a new song. And then you see it and you're like, oh my God, this is fucking AI.
Yeah,
so it's annoying to the fans, but it's also just disrespectful to the artists in general, like using their likeness to, I guess, make money. I guess people are make money off of this. I mean, you can't be making much. I feel like if you applied yourself to actually do something unique and creative, you could maybe be more successful than stealing other people's likeness and their art. But maybe that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing's weird to me. Like, I don't know. And then like even with like album art and stuff, like people are like, why don't you use AI to make your box designs for your products? And it's like, because me and Miranda have ideas. And like, I would rather just hire a human that is very skilled to implement those ideas. And like, to be honest, when I hire a graphic designer, like I want their mind. I like the form of like collaboration, and you lose a lot of that with AI. If you don't perfectly write the prompt and then perfectly filter out the results. And I don't know. It's just,
That feels like, I think with graphic design, it's even more of a problem because people are using it a lot. Like most people aren't using AI to write their own lyrics. I mean, maybe they're using it to write their own lyrics, but they're not using it to like produce a song or anything like that as much. A lot of people are using it to create album arts or artwork for whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like that is directly taking away from graphic designers, which is very icky to me.
Yeah. I think they're just tiers, right? Like I think you have like your AI design tools. Like I love Lander Mastering, their the plugin that they just made, kind of AI based, but it's AI based and like it has set algorithms that are supposed to give you certain results, and it'll change that algorithm to give you that result.
Yeah, that's even different though. Like I think AI that is used as like smart tools, I don't think is the same thing as AI that is used to take away creatives' jobs. Like it's, they're two
like build
different,
a puzzle of copyright.
Yeah,
shit.
It's like two completely different things. It's like Siri on your phone is technically AI. I don't think Siri is taking away fucking jobs from anybody.
Right.
Like,
I'm not gonna call the operator.
Yeah, this isn't 1940. I'm not calling an operator. Like she's not taking away jobs from anybody. But you know, like ChatGPT or whatever the ones are that use for graphics that I'm completely forgetting, like those are, but like
Midjourney.
Yeah, that's it. If it's a tool that you're using to make your job easier or like take down your work time, that you would, it's like you're just helping yourself. You're not taking a job away from somebody else or taking money from somebody or like stealing art from a creative possibly. Like you're just making your job easier.
Yeah, for me it's different. Like it is like the opposite of that. Is like I use AI to give me more time to be creative because I don't think AI does creativity well.
No, God,
I think it
no.
does like monotonous shit really well.
Yeah,
that's why we've had AI assistants for 30 years.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The way that you're using it, and a lot of people are probably using it that listen to this, is just as a tool, which I don't think is a problem at all. I think that's very smart. Why would you not? Like, we don't do things the way we did 50 years ago for a reason, because we found more efficient ways to do them. Why would you keep doing them the same way if you don't have to?
That's my take on AI. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be that hot of a take. I know there are going to be some people that are like, I've used it for album art and it's fine. I'm like, whatever. If you want to use it, I guess use it. I just, like, you could probably get something cooler if you just hired a graphic designer.
Oh, 100%. I think it's a personal thing with things like album art, I guess. I personally think it's a... not okay to do it, but
especially because it steals a lot of work.
Exactly. Once I found out that it, like, which I guess that like totally makes sense, because where the fuck else would it get these
people kind of like Shutterstock?
Yeah, like of course
shit in there.
Yeah, of course it's like stealing from artists. So that to me just feels a little blah.
Yeah.
But you know, people are gonna do it anyway, so I don't think they give it two shits about us saying that.
No,
it's
probably
wrong.
Not. Probably not. What else are you hot about? Oh, well, you're talking about artist merch.
Yes. And, well, okay, artists as in like big artists, like the top 1% of artists. Yeah, like huge. How their merch just sucks. Awful. Like,
I saw a tweet the other day that was like, give me your hot take about Taylor Swift's Era Tour. And it was like, the merch is fucking trash.
The merch is so bad. Love her. Tour, absolutely insane. Absolutely incredible. She's incredible. All these artists are incredible that we're going to be talking about, but their merch just sucks.
Yeah.
It's so fucking boring. And when I saw her, Taylor Swift specifically, the tour poster when mm-hmm. she released it, I was like, oh, that's cool. Hope that's not the merch.
Literally the first thing you said.
The only thing it is the merch. And I was like, really? You couldn't come up with literally one other design?
Which is funny because she's had good merch before. Like, she'll do fucking, like, the cardigans.
Yeah, I was like, she released fucking cardigans.
Fire.
And, like, you really can't release, do something cooler. I understand it's, like, the quantity that you need for a tour is obviously not the same quantity you need to sell on your website. I get that. But I also, it's, like, you're a billionaire. And also, you've been planning this tour. Tours are planned, like, a year in advance. So, like, what is the excuse?
If I go to one more concert at a stadium or an arena, and it is a $50 t-shirt printed on a Gildan tee, that is like
the screen print's gonna fall off.
Microsoft Paint ass design.
Yeah, and it's gonna fall off as soon as you wash it.
Dude, I swear to God, these t-shirts. If you don't know, if you've never tried to print a t-shirt, Gildan tees at the quantity that they're buying, probably like $2 a blank. At the quantity that they're screen printing, probably they're probably spending $2 or $3 on these t-shirts.
Even if
$50,
even if you give them credit and say they're spending $10, which is highly unlikely.
$10 would be like a nice beefy tee, like this t-shirt blank that they've cropped and is nice and baggy, probably not even $10.
Yeah, but let's just give them the credit and say that it was $10. They're still making $40. That's my thing. It's like, I don't get it. Like, you're still making...
And the designs are trash.
They're trash, and they're just so boring and uncreative. Like, why are we still slapping album arts on fucking t-shirts and being like, that's my merch? Why?
It's just funny because, like... Then I go online and you go on Etsy and, like, these girls are eating her up. Just
everyone.
Insane designs.
Everyone.
Like, you go on and it's crazy. I'd rather buy bootleg tees off of Etsy.
Oh, yeah. Those little, like, niche designs that they do, that would just be, like, a lyric. But it's, like, if you know, like, my thing is, if someone cares enough to go to your concert, they probably listen to your music, obviously. So they're going to know these niche references or these niche lyrics or whatever. They're going to understand it. So why don't you just print it on the merch?
Or at least have cool designs. Like, damn.
Yeah. Like, we saw Harry Styles in like October of 2022, I want to say. And I was like, oh man, I'm so excited to get this merch. Like, his shit's going to be cool because his whole tour was really cool.
He had custom outfits for every single,
yes,
dude, his mic packs.
No outfit changes, which was whack as fuck, but
his
that's
mic
a whole
packs were
thing.
Cut into outfits, yeah, to match his fits. And I was like, we're gonna get glitter on shirts, we're gonna get crop tops, we're gonna get
some,
like,
sick
a flare
designs.
Sweatpant.
Nothing.
Get
shit. Nothing. My merch I got from there is fucking checkerboard, little square with orange checkerboard with a rabbit on it.
If you are an artist who is making merch, please go the extra day. You do not have to just put your name on a t-shirt. Collaborate or hire a graphic designer or a visual consultant or something. Make merch that could actually, like, stand alone. I don't think that if your thing for making merch is like, I want to give it to my top 1% of artists, I think you're wasting your time. I think if you just make merch that, like, somebody who may be not even familiar with your music would enjoy, I think that pays off more. Like,
right.
Like, you look at, there's YouTubers out where their merch is inspired by their YouTube channel or by their brand or whatever, but it's kind of like almost a secondary brand. Like, you look at Curtis Connor, he has all his mm-hmm. Curtis Town merch. You look mm-hmm. at Cody Ko, he has all of his Ko and Free and Easy collabs. You look at, like, Eddie Burback, who has Yikes. And the thing about all of these different, like, merch rollout companies that they have is that their name, if it is incorporated at all, is done in such a subtle way that if you didn't know, you wouldn't know.
I think their
designs are just absolutely incredible.
Yeah. I think Cody Ko even puts his name on a lot of it, but it's such a cool design that it's not like this singular focus.
Well, and now that he's doing athletic stuff, he's, like, printing it on athletic shorts.
Yeah.
He's, like, actually making athletic hats. And, like, it's not just so standard. And, mm-hmm. like, I feel like if you're an artist Oh, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say even like Chad, she just came out with merch. It doesn't have her name on it. It's all just like cute little, like funny little designs that she put on t-shirts.
Yeah, it doesn't need to. I understand that people are like, well, if I have merch, I want it to basically be marketing for me. Number one, fuck you if that's your opinion, because those people already paid $30 for that shirt. They do not need to be your billboard.
Also, have you ever seen someone's t-shirt and been like, oh, let me go listen to that artist that's on there? No. You've literally never done that.
You know what you will do? You'll see a shirt that you're like, that shirt is insane. Where did you get that? Oh, this is actually from Austin. This is Austin Hull's merch design. Right. If you like it, you can go check out his store. He's actually an artist who makes music.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to win people over than somebody being like, Austin Hull, what the fuck is that? Is that some like low-level fashion, like, you know, ASOS?
Right. Who's ever like Googled someone's who's on someone's t-shirt?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Make fire merch.
Yeah.
If it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money, and a lot of resources to make merchandise. If you're going to do it, put effort into it.
That's why I don't understand why these rich ass artists with labels aren't doing it. And that's why it pisses me off so bad. Because I'm like, I understand like small artists, like why they can't do it. Obviously, because the budget is not there. I get that. Drake, you're telling me Drake doesn't have the
budget?
Drake, you're telling me he doesn't have the budget? Aubrey Graham, you don't have the budget? You're lying. You're lying. Is your label not allowing you to do? Isn't he on his own label, actually?
OVO. So honestly, his merch is it's a little bit better than most. He's slightly above average.
Doubt it.
Jesus Christ. Like, we're going to see Olivia Rodrigo in March, and I swear to God, if it is Gildan Tees with a purple butterfly on it, I'm going to scream.
I knew it.
I'm going to flip the fuck out.
Oh, God. It probably will be.
With that said, we've talked about some hot topics. We'll probably cut it there. I don't want to just rant and bitch and moan about too many things in the first episode back.
Well, we could.
But we came in hot. We came in hot.
That's what you're going to expect from us, guys. No, just kidding. Not every time.
With that said,
we could make this a series, though, if you guys like it.
Let us know what else you want to talk about. Let us know if you have hot opinions that we either agree or disagree on. Yeah. You can let us know in the comments.
If you agree or disagree with us.
Yep. DM on Instagram. Talk your shit to us. other than that, I think the only big format change that we have now is when we were doing the podcast before, we would do solo episode, guest episode, solo episode, guest episode. We're not going to be going back and forth as tentatively this time. We probably will still have guests, but they're going to be a bit more sporadic, and it's going to be specifically for topics that we want to talk about with those guests. So I loved all the guests that we had, but I didn't want it to get to the point where we were filling guest spots just to fill them or because we needed to keep to a schedule. And I don't want it to fuck up our schedule if a guest has to cancel.
That's kind of what fucked up our schedule last time, is that we were trying so hard to get guests, and then it was our schedules getting messed up or there, and it was just hard. And then we were like, okay, well, we just don't have time for this podcast. So.
And we got a lot of feedback that people like our solo episodes.
Yes, which I was surprised by. So I kind of appreciate that.
If you want to see a guest, drop them below. We'll try to link with them or find somebody that can link us with them. Other than that, let us know what topics you want us to talk about. It's going to be me and Miranda doing this. Let us know if you like this, the YouTube videos. Let us know if you like actually having a video podcast, because if you do, we'll keep doing it. If it's something that y'all don't care about, we'll just go back to audio only, because it is a lot of extra effort and work. Mm-hmm. But with that said, if y'all like it, we'll do it. You know, I think they're just going to go on the Make Pop Music channel, so we don't have to grow two channels. If it starts messing up our algorithm on that channel, maybe we'll look at doing a podcast channel. It's all kind of up in the air, but we are really, really excited to be back. Other than that, do you have any recommendations that you want to leave people with before we sign off?
Nope. Forgot we did that.
No recommendations?
I'm sorry, I forgot. But do you?
Yeah, I do.
I was going to say, if I don't, I'm sure you do, because you actually remembered that we do that.
Yeah, I do. So, for one, I'm going to recommend, I got new studio monitors in yesterday, which if you follow us on Instagram, I'm sure you've seen. It's a huge recommendation because they're like $10,000. But if you're in the market for studio monitors, I got ATC SCM25s. I went to Vintage King and tested out like 15 different pairs of speakers. These to me stood out way above any of the others I tested for me personally and for my room and for the music I make. So if you're in the market for monitors and you have the budget or the flexibility to try ATC, I really do think they're great. And with that said, if you are in the market for monitors, check out Vintage King, because they had the biggest selection out of everybody that I checked out online. And when I saw their selection, I reached out to see if I could test out some monitors. And I actually flew up to Nashville last week before I bought these, went to their showroom, tested out literally $100,000 worth of speakers. And it really helped me like have a little bit of peace of mind if I was going to spend 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan, my rep there, was like absolutely amazing. Luke, the sales rep that was with me in the showroom, was incredible. So if you're looking to buy like pro studio gear, I think Vintage King is the best. The customer service was incredible. And they didn't try to upsell me on shit, which is fire.
They also have two locations.
They do. They have one in LA, which is actually much bigger.
Yeah.
But I was not flying 6 hours when I could fly.
Yeah, we're on the East Coast, so Nashville's a little closer for him.
With that said, big shout out to Vintage King. If you ever want to shop my gear now, too, they were nice enough to make affiliate links for every piece of gear that I own. So there's a section on our website and in the descriptions of all of our YouTube videos. With that said, you don't have to shop those. It does help us out if you do, but we're not sponsored by Vintage King or anything like that. They were just really nice and wanted to set that up for me. So shout out to them. Loving shopping with them lately. But that's my two recommendations. Other than that, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yes.
With another episode. So, oh, episodes will come out on, did I say this earlier? On Spotify Mondays, YouTube's on Wednesdays, yep. Tutorials every single Friday. Other than that, that's going to do it. I guess we'll see you guys next time. Much love. Peace.